All right, so it's August already. That quite how that happened so quickly. But I was speaking with someone yesterday, and we were talking about planning events and things. And we were sort of kind of okay. Well, we've got this and this, and then we better start planning for 2018 because 2019, because 2018's, by the time you take a couple of months to plan something and then put it into place, it's too late in the year to be starting to do anything new because people are just starting to wind down and think about Christmas and the silly season. So, yeah, whatever goals you've set for the year, if you're not on top of them by now, you really need to start focusing really hard on making them happen because time's just marching on. Now we are recording. Yes, Amira, I see you've come on there. How are you?
Good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, you're like, cool, thanks. You're nice and loud and clear, so that's good. I'd just like to check that. All right, first thing that I've got on my list for today, there was a post from somebody on the forum about active, when you log into your spending planner, if it says you're provisional or whether it says you're active. And I know we have touched on this once before, but I'm going to put in an apology. I've got something like about 60 people at the moment who are new clients who I haven't had the time to go and mark them as being active. And I think in that post I replied, I said it only takes me about a minute to do it, but when there's 60 of them, I kind of go, oh, there's about an hour I've got to give up there to do that, and I haven't got an hour spare right now, so it doesn't happen. So you probably know, if you were on the call or listened to the recording of the call that we had with Nick last week on the Monday, that the next task that he is planning to undertake is attaching your client's $10 a month payments to the spending planner application. So when somebody logs in, there will be a check that says, is this person financial? And it will automatically mark them as active rather than provisional once their payments have started. So I'm hoping I can get out of that job fairly quickly. But if I do find myself with an hour and I've got nothing to do, I'll get in and do that. But it doesn't make any difference. Like if your client says active or provisional, the only difference is the word active or the word provisional. It doesn't affect their usage in any way, shape, or form. So I just want to put your mind at ease about that. And if I do get time to do it, I will do it. It's an extremely slow, tedious, manual process right now. All right, let's talk about annual conference. There are well over 20 people booked in for annual conference. If you haven't booked in yet, and you suddenly go, oh my goodness, I haven't booked in, I have good news and I have bad news. The good news is that you haven't missed out. The bad news is that the price supposedly went up on midnight last Monday. But the other good news is that I don't think Kathy's actually gone in and changed the price yet. So if you were really quick off the mark, you could probably still get in and get in at the early bird pricing. But Kathy has been asked to go and do that, but I'm pretty sure it hasn't happened yet. But if you haven't booked in and you want to come, opportunity's still there to get in at the cheap price. If, and I have said this before, if you don't have the money right now to be able to get yourself booked in or even started on a payment plan, if you want to come, let us know because we need to know the numbers anyway. But we might be able to help you out with the pricing. All right. Now, if you were to go on your computer to the Resources Centre, and I'm going to do that right now and then actually bring it up. And if you were to go to the annual conference page, Kathy has added this morning, I believe. I hope she has. I asked her to. The actual awards for the 2019 conference have actually been announced. And I'm just going to go through them right now so you've got an idea what they are. But if you go to the annual conference page somewhere there, you will find that we've actually said what they are and what the criteria is for the judgment. So there's no nobody sort of saying, oh, I should have got that award and somebody else got it or whatever. it's all above boards and open, and let's just have a quick look at it now. So you all know we have a Spotty Award, which is the Spending Planner of the Year. And so here we're looking.
David, are you trying to share your screen? Because there's
no, I'm not. Because
okay, that's cool.
No, but if you want to go there and have a look, I'm not sure if Kathy has done that. I have asked her to, and I think that she probably has. But I decided I'd be better off just not wasting time trying to find it on my computer. So the Spotty, the Spending Planner of the Year Award, is for the person who has signed up the most new clients over the year and maintained them for the full six-month contract. They have actively participated in the Spending Planners Institute community by posting in the Facebook page, have demonstrated a commitment to learning by participating in most of the online training sessions, has demonstrated competence in knowledge of the software through creative problem solving in client challenges, and basically been an all-round good guy or gal, if you like, and has contributed to helping other people actively. So that's the Spotty Award. The OnSpotty is the Outstanding New Spending Planner of the Year Award, and that goes to the new spending planner who signed up the most clients during their first 2 months after receiving their certificate. Pretty simple. It's just the numbers one, that one. I'm potentially going to have a Certified Associate Spending Planner of the Year Award, but I'm going to talk to the spending planners who have associates to see whether that's going to work this year or not, whether there's enough of those on board to actually have an award, but it's a possibility we will have. I've got the next one is the client with the best results. So this isn't about you guys, it's about your client. So we're looking for this is for the spending planner with the client who can demonstrate the best financial improvement in the last 12 months. So basically you can nominate your client, and if you think you've got a client that's done extremely well and it might put you in good standing for that award, you would nominate that client, and it basically comes down to you would have to demonstrate the position the client was in at the start of your journey with them and where they're up to at the time that you nominated them. So that's a new one this year. A client relationship award. This is a new one. So the spending planner who submits the highest number of valid customer testimonials from the last 12-month period. So basically, if you've got a whole bunch of clients who give you testimonials, and they have to be valid ones, not just a load of rubbish, you send them in, there'll be a deadline for that, and if you've got the most testimonials, you'll get the award. Simple as that. So you should be thinking right now about, okay, what clients could I ask to give me testimonials? You would need to let your clients know that we would have the right to put those testimonials on our website if we so desired, but we would check that we did have permission before we did so. So that's the client relationship award. The next one, which is a new one, is a leadership award. So this is for the spending planner who is judged to have been the most active in encouraging other spending planners, posting positive content on the forum. And the only way you could get this award would be to be nominated by fellow spending planners, and it's based on the number of nominations. So if 20 people nominate one spending planner and that's the biggest number of nominations, that person gets that award. If somebody else gets 19 nominations and you missed out by one, that's just bad luck, but we're looking for the person who is nominated by the most number of spending planners. So we're looking for somebody who's actively encouraging, posting positive comments and telling people, hey, you can do it, get in there, and just being an all-rounder uplifter and making people get in and do what they know they want to do, but they haven't made themselves do it yet. So that's the leadership award. And then the most improved certified spending planner from conference to conference. I probably need to come up with a better name for that one. But here we're looking for somebody who came to conference in 2018 and in 2019 is attending conference and has jumped from having less than 5 clients. So this is somebody who really wasn't doing much at all. Came to conference last year, or sorry, this year, it'll be last year next year. and who has added the most number of clients in between conferences. So we're looking for somebody who got really inspired by coming to conference and said, right, I'm going to get off my backside and make this happen. And so in that 12-month period, they've added the most number of clients, but they have to have started from only having less than 5 clients. So if it's already somebody who's got lots of clients, they don't qualify.
Go. Good boy.
So we're looking for somebody might have to mute their microphone there. All right. And then I've got a new one I've just added this morning, which I've called the Founders Award. And I guess I'm the founder. So this is given to a spending planner who did not receive any of the above awards, but it was made an outstanding contribution to the advancement of the spending planners industry in the last 12 months. All right. And there's another one that's tacked on the bottom here, and I've got no idea how this one got on here. It says Best Dancer Award. And I think that might be because...
That'll be you, David.
No, that's because we've got my band playing this year. And seeing as how we're going to have bands and music, we're going to have people dancing. And so somebody's obviously decided we're going to pick a Best Dancer Award. But clearly that one had to be presented on the Monday. On the Sunday morning after the Saturday night. So there you go. That's the award. So hopefully every one of you listening has kind of gone, geez, there's one award at least there that I could have a crack at. Because... the whole idea of giving out awards is to give you guys incentive and motivation to do better and to see if you can achieve something that would make you feel proud of yourself. So that's the awards. Any questions or comments or whatever about that?
Yeah, what are the prizes?
Oh, there's no prizes. They're just awards. No, we've got these massive, great big trophies that we're going to hand out. So you'll be able to put them on your mantelpiece and they can gather dust and make you feel really proud of yourself. Do you want money?
Maybe just cake or something.
Look, I've got at least two ladies helping me, three ladies helping with this. So there'll be a woman's touch involved, I'm sure. So there could be something really exciting attached to the trophy. It might be a big bunch of flowers or a block of chocolate or who knows. But I just thought the sooner I let you guys know what the awards are and what the criteria is, the sooner you guys could start going, okay, this is the one I'm going for, or the two or three I'm going for, and I know what I need to do to achieve that award. So there you go. All right. Now, you would all be aware that we have Kirsty on board from Social Ocean. If you haven't felt Kirsty's presence yet, you must have been hiding under a rock. She's been contracted by the Institute to help the Institute better get the word out there amongst the world that we exist and that we're forced to be reckoned with. But part of that brief was that I wanted her to help you guys with your social media. And so the big picture is that Kirsty is helping us here at the Institute to create our social media campaign, but to also at the same time help you guys build your social media presence. And so that's why she's been doing the Facebook Lives with lots of great information for you. And I think she's been looking and snooping around all of your social media and your Facebook pages and things to see where you're up to get a bit of a feel for the general level of expertise or otherwise amongst us. And I think at this stage she's pretty much worked out that most of us are newbies and we need sort of nurturing at a fairly basic level. And so I'm pretty sure that's the level that she's aiming the information that she's giving out. The bigger picture is that, you know, I've got years and years of content that I created in my Simply Budgets days that we're pulling out and repurposing, I think is the terminology that Kirsty likes to use. So, you know, we're looking at all of the blogs and newsletters and emails that I sent out in that 15 to 20 year period and just going, okay, so here's a newsletter that was sent out. How can we make that a good Facebook post? How can we make that something that would be good on LinkedIn? How could we use that on Instagram? So the same piece of information gets repurposed for lots of different social media platforms. And then the idea being, of course, that you guys can share it and use it in your social media. So everywhere people look, they're just going to be seeing Spending Planners and Spending Planners Institute. And that's the goal. So Kirsty is definitely a keeper. I think you'd have to agree. Now, just on Zoom, you may recall that last time I suggested to you guys that you use Zoom as a means for getting testimonials from your clients. So not being one to sort of give advice but not actually take the advice, if you have been looking at our YouTube channel, which was something that was new that came up in the last, since the last webinar, I'm just going to go there and bring it up on my screen now. And I meant to have it up there, but time got away on me. So I'm going to show you some examples of how we actually put our actions where our mouth was and created some, hang on a second, that's not what I wanted. How we created some testimonials. Actually, I got Carolyn to contact a number of you guys and just interview using the exact method that we suggested that you would do. And I just want to show those to you. How do I do that? All right, I might come back to that because I can't seem to, I might need to sign out of one. Give me a second here, guys. Ah, now we're going to get it. YouTube. All right, I'll come back to that. If you went and looked at I'm not getting the YouTube channel I'm looking for. If you went and looked at the YouTube channel, you would see that there's a half a dozen testimonials that we've created simply by setting up a Zoom meeting, having a handful of questions pre-written, and basically asking those questions and recording it. And then what I did, I just went in, and where it was fairly obvious that the person who was responding had actually been asked a question, I just put in a white screen that just had the question written there. So at the end of one answer, here's the question just in text. And then we went back to the person's face with their response to the question. And the quality, the resolution isn't amazing, but it's not about the quality, it's about what the person has to say that's going to influence people and you know, what they're taking away from that. So we got in and did what we said you should do. So now we're leading by example. I would like to think that you guys can go, okay, I can see how we could do that. Get on Zoom, get your happy customers on Zoom with you and record. I gave you guys a series of questions last month that you could use, and they're in the resources center. Has anybody done that? Anybody had a go at that yet? Jesus, silence is deafening, guys.
Yeah, David, I've been experimenting with it. I've only done one so far with it, and it didn't go so well because she didn't quite do it how I asked. Sorry, I've got a bird on my shoulder here.
Okay. You had, like, the very next day, you had a client put a testimonial up, and because you put it on your Facebook.
Yeah.
And I thought it was excellent. It's not about the quality of the production. It's about the fact that somebody is speaking from their heart.
Oh, I think she actually used that. Like, I basically took the one that Carolyn interviewed me with and then just changed the words for a customer experience. And then she just did that on her own, where she just recorded it straight into her phone.
Yeah.
Whereas the one that I did yesterday, the day before, I used Zoom and I was asking her the questions and she just forgot to, I'm going to have to do a lot of editing on it to make it work, but that's okay.
Yep.
It's good. It's good. I just need a bit more practice with setting it up properly.
And I mean, let's face it, you're rarely going to get something right perfect first time round. Yeah. But if you don't have a go and fail a couple of times, you'll never get to the point where you're doing it well. So good on you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Now, there was some conversations, discussion, might have been yesterday or the day before amongst, might have been somebody I was talking with, might have been Kirsty actually. And Kirsty does a lot of Facebook Lives, and there are a couple of you, I know Bree, you do a number of Facebook Lives, and it's not that hard to do. Bree actually showed me how to do it, but I'm still haven't done it. I know I'm going to, but we decided that, you know what, we should actually give you guys the opportunity to have a practice in a safe environment where one night we all get on the forum and we go, okay, let's take turns and let's have a crack at doing some Facebook Lives. And it'll be just like, press the button, say hello to the other guys, and then get off again. Just so that you go, oh, okay, I did that, and it worked, and oh, it wasn't so scary, just to break the ice. So that's something that you'll probably see come through in the next week or so, where we give you the opportunity to, in a really safe environment, where we won't laugh at you, you can, unless you tell us a joke, in which case we'll try really hard to laugh, even if it's not funny. And, yeah, that way sort of practice in a safe environment. Okie dokie. That was YouTube. If I can get that YouTube thing to come up on my screen here shortly, I will get it to you, but you will know where it is. All right. Now, I notice on the call I've got a couple of guys who are mortgage brokers. One is Scott Graham and one is Warwick, who is one of our newer spending planners, Warwick Thompson.
Yep. Hi, David.
How are you? Scott, good. Warwick, can I get you to...
Yeah, how are you going, David?
Yeah, good, thanks. All right, I had a bit of a chat with Scott and Warwick yesterday and said, we'll ask them if they'd like to sort of have a little bit of an interview with me, and they both agreed, so here we are. Now, I know you guys would have heard me say many, many, many times, go and meet all of your local mortgage brokers and get a relationship happening, because there's a potential source of clients. If you came to the annual conference at the beginning of this year, you would have realized, well, you would have seen I had Paul Muller, who was a mortgage broker that is a family friend, I've known him since he was very young. And so I got him to come along and talk to you about, you know, let's get a mortgage broker's perspective on what we do and where the opportunities lie. I'm sure you're all aware that we're having a banking royal commission at the moment, and things are changing rapidly in mortgage broking land. So I thought we might get an update from these guys as to what's happening and where there might be opportunities for you as spending planners to develop relationships with these guys. So thank you, gentlemen. So what is happening in mortgage broking land?
No worries. Do you want to go, Warwick, or do you want me to?
I was going to let you take the lead, Scott. Go for it, mate.
There you go.
Thank you, I think. Well, maybe not thank you. So for those of you that don't know me, and I can see a few names on the side there, so I know a few of the names on there. My name's Scott, and I'm a mortgage broker. Makes it sound like it's an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. Scott and I work in finance. Hello, Scott.
Hello, Scott.
Yeah. So as David said, there's a finance is in a bit of a state of flux at the moment. There's a royal commission into financial services in general, and so that encompasses finance and financial planning and, you know, bank wrongdoing and all that sort of stuff. So one of the parts of that is looking at how people lend money, the credit policy and the criteria that banks use. So the Royal Commission is looking at that and saying, well, yeah, are we lending money as a system? Are we lending money to people that we shouldn't be lending money to? And what are the criteria that we use to work that out, you know, whether we should or shouldn't? For those of you that don't know, in finance, there's basically three things that banks look at. They look at what you earn, what you owe, and what you own are the three sort of criteria that they look at generally. So they look at what you own and say, well, you know, we can take that as, we can take your house, for example, we'll lend you a percentage of your house. So we'll lend you up to, you know, 90% of the value of the property. And if you don't make payments, then, you know, obviously the bank can repossess it. The bits that are maybe relevant to spending planners are what you earn. So the bank will say, oh, if you earn $10, for example, we can work out a payment, so a mortgage payment, and say, well, we'll lend you up to, say, if you earn $10, we'll work out what the mortgage payment is up to, say, $3, and we can work out how much we'll lend you to be able to make a repayment of, say, $3.
So they're looking for a 70% safety margin in there. They don't want you to spend more than 30% of your income on your mortgage.
It's different, yeah. So it's different for every bank, and they get a bit secret squirrel about the exactly how they do it. But that's a bit of a ballpark figure where they say, yeah, 30% of your income as a, you know, as a mortgage repayment, that's the limit. So if you earn $10 and it works out that your mortgage payment would be $4, the bank will say, well, we're not going to lend you money because we think that's going to put you into financial distress. And
right.
Yeah, they've got a duty of care to not put you into financial distress. So yeah. One of the parts that's been a bit of a focus coming out of this Royal Commission is living expenses. So they yeah. say, well, we want to know what your finances look like now. So we know what you earn because we can prove that with pay slips and tax returns and that sort of thing.
Yep.
We now want to know, you know, what are the details of the personal loans or your existing mortgages or your credit cards? Because in the same vein, we want to work out what your commitments are and we don't want to put you into financial distress. The living expenses part of that, so they work out your personal loans, your credit cards and mortgages and car loans and that sort of thing.
Yep.
The living expenses part of it is a really, it's becoming increasingly important. So it's becoming a bigger focus. And that being people up until now, there may have been a tendency for people to say, well, I earn $200,000 a year. And when we go to the bank, we say, well, what are your living expenses? And they say, well, I live on $500 a week. And the bank up until now hasn't really scrutinized that. But the Royal Commission is saying, well, you need to have a look at that in a bit more detail, because if you're earning $200,000 and you're spending $500 a week and you've been doing that for 10 years, there should be a big pile of money in the bank somewhere, but there's not. So there's something not right about that situation.
It's the tax, man. It's the tax. It all goes in tax.
It all goes in tax or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're now, and this is where the spending plan part comes in, they're now saying, well, we need to have a look through bank statements or come up with something to dig a bit deeper into what your living expenses are, because right. we want to know that if we're going to lend you this money, we want to know that we can cover off and say, well, we've made suitable inquiry, I think might be the term the lawyers use, suitable inquiries as to what your living expenses are. So that's maybe one of the opportunities for spending planners, where you say, well, you know, we can set out, we can show you the plan of what we have been doing or what we're going to do. And that's got all our living expenses set out in there. And so you can take that to, so for a mortgage broker, if you've got that information for a mortgage broker, they then have that evidence to go to the bank and say, well, here's the plan. So we're not just telling you that we're spending $1,000 a week or whatever it is. Here's a detailed plan of how this actually works. And, you know, we've got some evidence that that's what our client's doing. So
is there an opportunity? Like I'm saying to people, I'm sure there's an opportunity, but you tell me, is there an opportunity for spending planners to build a relationship with their local mortgage broker, if you like, in providing this service for their clients? And is there any particular client, I guess, that stands out more than any others?
Yeah, well, there's a couple of opportunities. So the first opportunity is that mortgage brokers wanting to know that information, and it will, as a mortgage broker, our duty of care will become increasingly important. So if you're a spending planner working with a mortgage broker, the mortgage broker is going to love you because you can provide them with that, you know, with those reports or that information, and the mortgage broker can then say, tick off and say, well, yes, we've made quote unquote suitable inquiries. Because we've got a person that specializes in helping these guys with their cash flow, and that's a great opportunity.
Right. And do you think the banks are going to take notice at this point in time? We're a virtually an unknown entity. Our credibility will grow as we become more known, but numbers don't usually don't lie. So, I mean,
Well, that is an interesting one. But sorry, Scott, I'll just jump in.
Yeah,
go for it.
I don't know if you've done it, Scott, but I've had a couple of banks that will actually accept the My Budget plan. So, okay. Yeah, they've questioned certain living expenses and certain bank statements because the old. Well, we all know My Budget just virtually takes control of other people's money.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we were able to provide that evidence from the My Budget breakdown to a bank, and they accepted the plan based on that. So I guess it's a case of the more you use it, the more they get comfortable with it, and might become a little bit more acceptable in the future.
Yeah, and banks like evidence, so they want evidence of everything. If you tell the bank that you earn $100,000, they're going to say, well, that's great. We need pay slips or we need evidence of it. So as a spending planner, being able to provide that report, the bank can not only the mortgage broker can cover off on it for his compliance regime, but the credit assessor at the bank can also say, well, I've made inquiries. Here's the report. So this is evidence that the broker and me as the credit assessor are not just providing lip service to this. We've got some hard evidence that we can put on file here to show that we've made, we've made suitable inquiries. So banks are going to like it.
That's really what it's all about. It's about people covering their butt, isn't it? That's
yeah. I think butt covering is the term. Yeah.
Warwick, what were you going to say?
Yeah, 100%. And that's just what it's come down to. A lot of banks, as Scott was saying before, we used to be able to put in, they only spent $500 a week and they accepted it. When they were questioned, well, have you actually looked into it? They said, no. So now it's a case of if you say yes, well, you've got to support the fact that you have looked into it. So,
all right. Yeah. So let's say that some of these guys listening in, the spending planners on this call right now, haven't approached all of their local mortgage brokers, and they're thinking, "Gee, I need to get the LA pages, find all the local mortgage brokers, and give them a call." What should their approach be?
You want to go, Scott, or you want me?
Well, the other that's maybe one opportunity, and I think the other one, and maybe this is a good one, is. People that can't borrow now for whatever reason, so they're in a position where they haven't got a deposit, they've got too much sort of personal loan, unsecured debt, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. As a mortgage broker, there's not a whole lot you can do with that. You look at the situation and say, well, you've given me the snapshot of where you are right now, and I can't find a bank that will assist us.
Yep.
It's not to say that if you saved for the next 6 months and you then had a deposit, that we can show a bank statement that says, we can see you're putting $200 or $300 a week into. The mortgage broker can then come back. The opportunity for a spending planner would be that, you work with these people. The mortgage broker says, I can't help, Mr. and Mrs. Smith right now. What I suggest you do is go and see Warwick at Warwick Spending Planners.
Yep.
They'll get into a position where we've briefed you and we need a deposit of $15,000 or $20,000. Work with Warwick and I'll check in with you in 6 months and see where you've got to. That, for a mortgage broker, is great because the mortgage broker doesn't lose track of that person, and they've provided some value to that person by referring them to you. And then once they're in a position to borrow, the spending planner then says to Warwick, hey, Warwick, we were talking about Mr. and Mrs. Smith 6 months ago. We've now got them into a position where they've now got $20,000 sitting in a bank account for a deposit. Over to you. Mortgage brokers will love that. They'll be salivating at that.
All right. That's what I expected. But let's come back to the how should they approach the mortgage broker? Because like you guys are one-man bands or, small business operators, but if you are a larger firm and the phone rings, you've got to get past the gatekeeper, i.e. the receptionist, and do you send an email, do you make a phone call, do you do a letterbox drop? how do they get the attention of the mortgage broker to want to go and have a coffee with them and talk about what they do?
Just ask. Look, and we touched on this a little bit yesterday, David.
Yeah.
You probably, with the larger firms, you may not want to attack just yet because they do have all those gatekeepers in there.
Yeah.
But someone that's, you know, probably a smaller one-man band or two-man band, like got a bit of admin support, they're the person you want to touch because they're probably the most time poor as well. And they're also the ones that want to be able to hand that client off, not lose that client, but give it to someone, as Scott said, to hand over. Here's someone who can look after the finances, get them in a position, and then send them back to me.
Yeah.
And then you will actually keep that relationship going.
Because it's nothing worse than putting lots of time and effort into getting known in your community and having people walk in the door and then walking out and you couldn't help them.
That's exactly right. Yes. And the other conversation I had with you, David, like the one, a best mortgage broker I reckon you're getting friends with is one at a house and land package site.
Cool. If that was what I was about to ask you next. So, yeah, this is a strategy that we talked about yesterday. Just you want to give everybody what you're suggesting?
Yeah, well, you go to a house and land package area, I guess, where you walk in and there's 30 different builders with a whole bunch of display buildings and all that. You got the salesman, and then that salesman says, we have an in-house finance broker. Come and would you like to speak to him? You just go, yes, because those brokers, and I don't know if Scott's done it, but I had to sit in one of those chairs for a little while when I first started off.
Yeah.
And that sales person, or the developer and the builder, they will push every person to you.
I haven't done it, but yeah, they will. Good, bad, or otherwise, they'll send them all to you.
So. That's exactly right, good, bad, or otherwise. So if you are able to get a really good relationship with that a broker, he can turn around and instead of just going no to, you know, like 20 people and then maybe yes to one, if he can do maybe, you know, 10 to go see a spending planner, 9 definitely no, and then get one, at least he knows those other ones that he sent off to a spending planner will eventually come back to him.
Yeah.
Because, you know, this whole point of, you know, buy a house and land for, have $3,000 saved up, 95% land, all that, that's getting tighter and tighter. The first homeowner's grants dropped down to $15,000.
Yep.
So they're going to need to actually save more. They're going to need to have a better understanding of where their living expenses actually go. And for me, if I was sitting in one of those desks and I saw someone that was might not be quite there but still had a clean past, I guess,
yep,
I'd be directing them straight to a spending planner. Say, here, go to this person. They're going to be able to help you in the next 6 months, get your deposit, and then when you're done, come back and see me and I'll get your finance.
Right.
Because they're the people that just see volume of no's. It's a numbers game.
Because every weekend there's droves of people walking down the street with the display homes to go and shop through.
That's it.
And
they're already emotionally connected because they walk through the house.
Yep.
They're already being sold the dream by the developer. And then they just get pushed straight to you. You don't have any say in it as a finance mortgage person, unfortunately.
Yep.
And then you'll have the developer yelling up and down, well, I just gave you 50 people today. How many loans or how many houses are we going to build? And you go, none, because those 50, not one of them could qualify.
Yep.
Then you could turn around and go, well, hold on, but I have been able to put 25 of those people onto a spending plan. In 6 months' time, they're going to come back and they are going to build this house.
And they'll come back. Yeah, it's a good point. It's a very good point.
Yeah. All right. So the approach would be just find your smaller mortgage broker operators and phone them and say, hey, I'd love to buy you a coffee and talk to you about how we might be able to work together. Or go and walk down if you've got a street full of display homes in a local area, go and walk through the mall and do the, can I talk to the mortgage broker and take a bunch of business cards and talk relationships.
Saturday afternoon about 2 o'clock is probably the best time because that's when it gets boring and quiet.
Right. And they're looking for someone, anybody to talk to.
Anyone to talk to.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I think it's a good point. It's a very good point.
Okay. That's probably good information. Has anybody got any questions for either of these guys before we sort of move on?
Hey, Dave. Mark here.
Yeah, Mark. How are you?
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you. I just got in, sorry, on a day off so I could get in. Question, like it's, they're talking there, I think it was Warwick, saying that they'll be happy to send, like Warwick would be happy to send them back to us so that we could then get them back to them.
Yep.
Yep.
That's something that I've spoken to with a few brokers, and to get them across the line with that is, you know, that's something that I thought would be a pretty key thing, and it's a good one to say, but I just haven't been able to get anyone on that sort of thing, where I've said, you know, even if you get someone that fails, don't have the deposit or something, then they're the ones to send to me and I can send them straight back to you and I can tell you when they're going to have that deposit. Is there something that we can say or do to a broker to give them that sort of confidence of that? Because like I said, that's an angle I've pushed on a couple of times and just struggling to get anywhere.
Sorry to interrupt, but just on that topic, it's a trust relationship and relationships build and take. So if you have a spending plan client that is maybe it might be in their best interest to consolidate debt, if you refer that person to a mortgage broker and have them consolidate debt for one of your clients, and your clients is telling them how and why debt and the plan that they have for the future, that could help build trust with, we're not just consolidating debt so that we have a few extra $100 a week and we're going to go blow that your clients are educated, they know the plan for saving and all the rest of it. So if you're then asking them to send you clients so that they will have a savings plan and your client's already telling them about theirs, that could help build that trust.
And that's exactly right. It's all trust.
Yeah, it's trust and confidence, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's it. And Mark, I guess your question, not all brokers are the same. It's got to say that. There's others out there that are selfish, greedy and hungry and want to keep everything themselves. And there's others that are actually out there working for the best interests of the clients and doing what they can. And it's not necessarily getting them into a house. It's getting them into a better financial position, as Bree just said, about maybe just consolidating a debt, just trying to get them a step ahead. They may already have a home loan. And it's a two-way street. And it's just going through, once again, a numbers game. If you talk to 20 mortgage brokers, you might end up having a coffee with two of them. It's the same as playing sport. It's the same as bumping into someone down the street. Some people you get along with, some people you don't. And at the end of the day, you'd rather have business with someone you like dealing with than just trying to force something on someone.
Yep. So I guess, Mark, to answer your question, it comes back to what can you do that will make you appear like you're more trustworthy and more someone that they want to deal with. So I don't know whether it comes down to can you give us an example of any of the ones that you sort of haven't been successful with? Did you actually have a coffee with them, or did you what transpired?
So one of them, or both the main ones that I've been trying are ones that I've used personally as well, so that they have an understanding of me and have seen sort of that I understand my expenses. Mm-hmm. One of them I have sent a couple of people to. I don't think that they've ended up getting any work out of them yet, but I have sent them a couple of the clients through.
Yeah.
Been by phone just because not in the same area. Another one is the other guy that's just done all my home loans, done my cars, he's been doing everything since he started his doing his training. And same thing, just not been able to, he's just gone out on his own now. I was just talking to him again yesterday and he's, I'll be able to look at that sort of thing. But you can just tell in the voice that he's just not there. And I've offered free ones many of times to him, to family, to anybody that he wants so he can actually see it. It's just getting them to take that jump. And like he's, you know, I've known him, I coached him in soccer back when he was a young fella, so I've known him forever. So
if that's a bit sad, isn't it? If you can't get someone with that kind of relationship to even at least say, yeah, okay, let's try one.
Drop him and move him on. He's not looking at the big picture. He's obviously just gone out on his own. He's just focusing purely on his own business and he's not looking at the big picture. Go find someone else.
Yeah, a good point. He may, yeah, if he's just started out on his own, it may be that he's got, you know, he's got a lot going on and it's not his focus at the moment. He's got so much other stuff going on because he's just trying to establish himself in his business that he, you know, for whatever reason, he doesn't want to look at referral relationships or anything yet.
He's just gone out now. So previously I was speaking to him when he was working for other people.
And he's
just gone out in the last sort of couple of months and, yeah, just haven't been able to. And then obviously because so far away and now on the other side of the flaming country, it's a bit hard for me to go in and see him. But because I have known him for probably 20-odd years, it was sort of one I was hoping to get along with.
You want to ring him up and say, okay, is it something I've said? Just put him on the spot and put him on the mat and say, well, come on.
Even yesterday, because I said, oh, now you're out on your own. You got no one told. I thought it might have been his other employers not wanting to do something, you know, putting a bit of pressure on, wanting to do it themselves. Definitely that's something I'd be able to look at. But I could just tell in his voice from talking to so many sort of people that he just had a bit of reservations in it still.
Go back to his company that he just left and start talking to them. He might have been the one stopping you from getting in there.
Yeah, true.
That's a good thought too.
But calling out will do one of two things. You call them out and it'll either push them away, which means they were never going to be a right fit, or it'll actually go, oh, you know what? He's calling me out. I better pull my head in and make this work. So either way, it's going to produce a result rather than just sitting there waiting for the fish to bait.
Yeah, very true.
Good advice. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Mark. Any other questions?
If I can just add something there, David.
Yeah.
I had one mortgage broker who seemed really interested in what I do, but he made the comment that when people are refused finance, they usually aren't very happy with him. They tend to blame him for being refused.
Yeah.
And he said he didn't think they'd be very open to any suggestions that they come along and work with someone like me, which I thought was interesting.
That's a little short-sighted.
There's a better way to frame that phone call.
Yeah, move on.
Yeah.
I would think, Marlene, that he would know. So maybe that might be right in some cases, but there's definitely a lot of cases where within 5 minutes or 10 minutes you say, well, I don't think this is going to work because, you know, so you haven't actually, the client hasn't actually been declined finance formally, but you know, you can say to them, look guys, I can see that your credit card has gone over the limit 2 out of the 3 months from what I'm showing here. I don't think the banks are going to like that. You know, how about you talk to someone and we'll have a look at it again in 3 months or 6 months. So you're not, the client hasn't got unhappy with him because it's been declined. He's actually providing him with a better service because he hasn't put a black mark on their credit file and gone straight to the bank without it working sort of thing.
I think it all depends how you frame it, doesn't it? If you basically with a mortgage broker and someone came in that situation and you could see they're not going to get the mortgage, you don't go, oh, look, sorry, guys, I can't get you the mortgage. Instead, you go, okay, there's this process that we're going to take you through, and this is part of the process. You need to talk to Marlene or Mark or who, you know, whoever it is. We'll get it for you. It all depends whether you're going to be glass half full mortgage broker or glass half empty mortgage broker, doesn't it?
Many conversations where I tell clients before they even get to application stage, sorry, you can't now, and in 6 months' time we will. And this is why I took up this program, for the same thing. We're already budgeting and already telling them how to do what they need to do over the next 6 months.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, Scott, but I don't have too many unhappy ones or get angry with me because I tell them no.
This is just but would you ever want to do a video that we could use when we talk to other mortgage brokers of how it works for you and how you reframe that to make that work for you? So that if we're going to a meeting with
an idea,
we could show them how mortgage brokers do it and use this system.
Awesome. Yeah, I think I haven't actually watched my little testimonial, but I think from memory I might have talked a little bit about that, about how I use it. As a mortgage broker? What's that?
My testimonial is hopeless.
Well, we should have actually recorded that one.
Never say it was hopeless. It was just a first attempt.
That was a first run, yes.
Because I recorded what you said then. That was fantastic.
Yeah. Now, coming from, as you said, like Scott, obviously he understands it. I understand it. And it's just getting people to actually take it on board. And I think any forward-thinking mortgage broker should and would be wanting to take this on.
And hearing that from another mortgage broker is a stronger position than hearing it from a spending planner that they've never heard of.
Oh, I don't know. I talked to a few mortgage brokers in there. Yeah.
Pretty close mind.
There's a lot.
Week, so. Yeah.
I do think that there's some that just aren't interested. But you can say that. So you could say to a mortgage broker, the referral partners you need are someone that works in property, a real estate agent, a conveyancer, and someone that does insurance. So to cross-pollinate or cross-sell, whatever you want to call it, you know, you should have these partners, because these are the questions you're going to get asked all the time. Do you know a conveyancer? Do you know a real estate agent? All that, and spending planners would fit in with that. You'll find, and I don't know what the stats are, but it's something like 60 or 70% of mortgage brokers don't refer to other industries. They just stick to their own little bit. So I don't know that it's spending planning in particular. It's just that they haven't broadened their horizons to say, well, if I get asked about a conveyancer all the time, you know, why don't I go out and find a conveyancer to work with, because I'm going to get asked the question all the time. They don't see the opportunity. So it may be, Mark, that may be the case with your guy, that he's just, you know, he's so busy doing his thing that he hasn't gone out there and had a look at
the square.
It's a bit because it's such a new industry, maybe, like everyone knows what My Budget is, but this is doesn't fit, you know. What do? I'm a mortgage broker. Everyone knows what that is. What do? I'm a lawyer. All right, we get what that is. What do? I'm a spending planner. Well, I don't really understand how that works, you know? So.
All right.
And explain it to the mortgage broker that it's My Budget for a quarter of the price. That's pretty much what it is. And Scott is right in saying that mortgage brokers don't refer. It's the hardest. Some of them are so hard and so focused on doing their own little world, they really, really don't. So when I keep saying it's a numbers game, if that person, you have two or three copies, if you hear it in their voice that it doesn't really sound like they're going to do anything, move on.
I think that's good advice, yeah.
And that's why the whole development site with a whole row of builders and display homes, you've got probably 20 mortgage brokers to walk through on one Saturday afternoon. And just tick them off your list.
Yep. Yep. All right. But it's certainly given me, what this conversation's given me, the thought we need to build up some resources that you can plonk on someone's table or email them, that sort of gives them an overview of how spending planning fits into their profession, or how it could do, and how it could help them in their business and their profession. So,
And self-interest is always...
What's in it
for me? So it's not so much I can help, da-da-da-da-da. You can say, well, you know, all those clients that, you know, like the guy sitting in the display home, you know how your boss is getting stuck into you because he's saying, well, why did I send you 50 leads and you haven't converted any of them? I can help you with that. You know, all you have to do is give me a name and a number and a brief description of their situation and why it didn't work. And even if I send 1 in 10 back to you, that's all you have to do. Just give me the name and the number. And, you know, if I send 1 in 10 back to you, that's going to help you. It doesn't take any more effort than that. Yep. And it sort of gets the wheels turning for the mortgage broker to go, well, if it's not going to take me a whole lot of time to do, and I'm going to generate more converted loans or whatever their KPI is, then yeah, they should be able to, their own self-interest should lead them to say, right, well, I should consider this.
Yeah. Sweet. All right. Thanks, guys. Any other last minute questions before I shut these guys down? It's so good to get that inside perspective. Anthony, were you?
I was going to say that is such a good tip. I have a display home place just down the road from me. I'm going to
Saturday afternoon, Auntie is down there.
Won't be this weekend. There'll be the following weekend for sure.
Right, yeah. Cool. All right. Anybody else with comments or questions? All right. Thanks, guys. That was really informative. All right. Now it's just 1 minute away from being 2 o'clock. I actually, Marlene's sitting in the background there, and I spoke with Marlene yesterday and asked her if she'd be prepared to have a bit of a chat with me on the call today. But seeing as how it's 2 o'clock, I'm going to unmute you. Where are you? I'll try unmuting you again. Oh, by the way, did you see I did bring up that YouTube channel there in amongst what I thought I'd show Scott's beautiful face while he was talking. I can't seem to unmute you, Marlene.
I've done it myself, David.
Okay, maybe we're both clicking on the button at the same time. Given the time, would you mind if we had you as our star next time?
No, that's fine.
Would that be okay?
Yeah.
All right, so everybody's... Oh, I wonder what that's going to be about. So you just have to wait till next month to find out.
Intrigue.
All right. So there's a few things come out of that. One thing that I'm suggesting is that we have a session, and I'll sort of work on a plan for when this might happen, where we one night just go, okay, we're all going to get on, we'll get on Zoom so that we can coordinate each other, and we'll have Facebook, and we'll go, okay, let's do some Facebook Lives. Let's just, your turn, just say hello, and we'll just...
Can I suggest for those Facebook Lives that you actually get everyone to tell their best David dad joke? dad jokes all the time come up, and they can put their best one on, and that actually gives them a reason to get on and share their dad joke. And
yeah,
so
I don't know why you put David on the front of the dad jokes.
You're the king of dad jokes, mate. Oh. You really are.
Oh, I'll have to wear that, I think. All right. Cool. All right, we're going to do that in the next month. It'll be dad's joke Facebook Live dad joke, and we'll all break the ice if we haven't broken the ice before. Thank you. Sweet. All right. You all know about the annual conference, and there's a very, very slim window of opportunity if you haven't booked in yet to get in at the right price. You know about the awards, and you should be starting to think, all right, I'm gonna have a crack at one of those or more than one. You know how to go and approach your local mortgage broker, and you know if he's just keep saying no or glazes over, just move on, because 40% of them are potential and 60% just don't want to know. That's a good statistic we got from these guys. And the whole thing about doing the Zoom interviews, if you get someone to do a Zoom interview and you don't have the software or the skills to edit it, if you talk to me really nicely and you catch me today when I've got some spare time, you might even be able to just connect me with that Zoom file and I might be able to do it for you. So, you know, it could be a good way of getting that prize for the client relationship award at the annual conference, most testimonial. So go for it.
Hey, just a quick one.
Yeah.
What's the business center link password again? For some unknown reason, I'm putting it in wrong.
I guess it's safe to publicize it on this forum. It's SPI 17 and RC for Resource Center.
That's the one. Thank you. Back to it, Dave.
Okay. All right. Well, at that, I'm going to announce this meeting closed.
Can I ask a quick question? Sorry.
Yeah, go for it.
No, I just had a sudden thought that when you were saying you could edit a Zoom video, maybe you could record that and teach us how to do it.
Well, it's basically on using the software. So I use software called Camtasia.
Yes.
So I think it's a couple of $100.
Oh, okay.
Just use iMovie though. I mean,
But there's an idea in there. So maybe if I looked at something, one of those.
Yeah, you can even do it on an iPhone through an app as well. My kids do it and it seems to be really quick. I don't know how they do it.
Are they teenagers?
Yeah, get the teenagers to do it.
I think you can do it through YouTube too.
YouTube actually have an edit facility in there. Yep. When you upload it, you can upload the file and then edit it.
And you can keep it private. It doesn't need to be shared publicly.
While you're editing it, that's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. And there's probably people on YouTube. If you just Googled on or YouTube, put in a how to edit a video, there's probably stacks of people who've already done it. So
yep.
You could save me the time. There's probably plenty of people who've already done that. Sweet. All right. Well, that was pretty good. Do you think, Guy? I reckon it was great interviewing these guys and hearing about that. That was
pretty cool. Thanks, Guy. No worries.
Appreciate that. So I'll stop the recorder. And...